You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Saturday the 12th of January. And we've got great action coming up from both Kempton and Warwick. And we've also got supporting cards at Wetherby in terms of the Jumping Fairy House over in Ireland as well. And Lingfield and Newcastle host all weather cards. So plenty of stuff to look forward to on Racing Radio. It gets underway at 10 past 12. So make sure you join the team in the studio for all of the day's action. But on the podcast, my name's John Gibby and Andy Gibson is with me for a full house of Gibbies. Andy, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Are you okay?
Yes, I'm very good, thank you. Good to have you on the podcast again. We'll get your selections for your nap and your next best for Kempton in a few moments' time, but we'll start off by taking a look at another race in Kempton, on Lanzarote. And this looks a typically competitive betting heat, this handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. At time of recording, Cloudgate is a 7-2 favourite for Gary Moore and Jamie Moore. Lord Napier is at 6-1, 7-1 Darling Malte, Do Pretender 7-1, 8-1 Eric LaRouge, Cotswold Weyers in 9-1, and it's double figure prices for the rest. So, Andy, earlier on in the week, we heard about plenty of money coming for Cloudgate for the Moore team, but I understand you fancy a different runner in the race.
Well, yeah, you've got to give Cloudgate a mention because he was super impressive at Doncaster. He's up £12 for that. That won't be easy, but you can still understand where the money's come from. The horse that I've been interested in for, not necessarily for this race, but just once he was going to be stepped up to 2.5 miles off his mark, is Lord Napier. I've already had a bet on him. Did you say he's 6-1 now?
Yes.
Yeah, I still think he's worth an each way. The one, I'll get the negative out of the way. I'm not absolutely convinced that goodish ground would be perfect for him. I think he's all right on it because he's run two really good races over 2 miles on it. So I'm not, you know, massively concerned about that. It's just a minor concern, but there's always a negative, and that's the one with him. He won at Perth over 2.5 miles on soft ground off a mark of 121. He was raised £9 for that, and has actually run three tremendous races since in circumstances that wouldn't have suited him. They've dropped him back for 2 miles for the Haydock, for the Swinton at Haydock in May. He's run on really strongly behind Silver Streak, and obviously with what Silver Streak's done since, that's turned out to be really good form. He was only beaten 12 lengths over a trip too sharp. He then had a 208-day break, came out for this season, carried I think it's top weight. Where are you? Yes, carried top weight in a lesser race at Wincanton, but I suspect very strongly, A, he needed his first run, and B, again, it was good ground over 2 miles. And then last time out, he's running that tremendously competitive £85,000 to the prize money race at Ascot.
The race that changes its name every year, the Grade 3 Handicap Hurdle.
The 22nd of December, where Mo Hyatt won the race this year. He was only beaten 8¾ lengths. Again, stayed on really significantly in eye-catching fashion. He's absolutely crying out for 2.5 miles. You know, I don't know for certain tomorrow is the day, but what I would say, I'd be very confident that this horse is an awful lot better than 130. And I'd be hopeful, extremely hopeful, that he'll run very, very well tomorrow.
It's interesting, race when you look at the field we've got declared here, isn't it? Because we've got so many improvers in the field. You know, we've got Cloudgate, who's the favourite, who's on a hat-trick. We've got Eric LaRouge, who's already secured a hat-trick now on a four-timer. Cotswold Way also secured a hat-trick last time out. Star of Lancashire for Warren Great Tricks has been running really well in novice company. We've got horses that have just kept improving in the recent form that they have shown, and it makes it very interesting. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see one or two horses to watch, potential useful performers of the future at a higher level than this in the race on Saturday.
Yeah, possible. And I think the key that you've kind of alluded to, the key in my view, to this race tomorrow, in that you've got horses like Eric LaRouge. Now he's won off 112, then 119, then 129, and now he's off 134. And that's quite typical of two or three in the race, including the favourite Cloudgate, who's now £12 higher than last time out. The difference, in my opinion, with Lord Napier is that he has been running in circumstances that were not ideal for him, whereas tomorrow he gets his, I think, almost perfect scenario tomorrow. And so as a consequence, he hasn't gone up from 130. If he'd have been running over 2.5 miles twice in the last month, then I suspect he'd be running off 142 tomorrow or something, or 140. He's running off 130 because he's been staying on in eye-catching fashion over 2 miles on three separate occasions after showing that he stays 2.5 miles on a right-handed track at Perth in April extremely well. He will... I'd be really disappointed if he didn't put up a significantly improved performance tomorrow.
Okay, well, that's the Lanzarote. It gets underway at 2:40. You've got two bets for us elsewhere on the Kempton card, though. Andy, what's the first of those going to be?
We'll go for the 2:05, the Casino Chase, the listed race at Kempton. A small field race, but I don't like Black Corton in the race. I don't think he's got the speed for 2.5 miles. I think Hammersley Lake is one of the worst handicapped horses in training. He's unfortunately acquired a mark of 157 when his ability level doesn't go anywhere near to that. And Sperridek, the ground tomorrow, I'd be as certain as I could be that the ground will be too quick for him tomorrow. He is blinkered for the first time. That might light him up a little bit, but he ideally definitely wants a very soft surface to show his best form.
With Hammersley Lake, obviously this isn't a handicap and he receives weight from almost all the rivals except for Sperridek, but you're still not keen.
It's not, no, it's what I mean is that his place in the market may be according to his 157, right. You know, as in, I'd put a zero next to whatever price he is because I think that 157 flatters him massively. So it's more about the impact upon the market and reputation and stuff like that.
If we just mention the prices briefly, Top Notch at 6-4 is currently the favourite at time of recording, 13-8 Charbel, Black Corton is 5-1, 11-1 Sperridek, and Hammersley Lake is 14-1.
Yeah, and I just think that in terms of the market, there'll be very little between Charbel and Top Notch tomorrow, whereas personally I much prefer the claims of Top Notch coming into this race. I think I'm still not convinced about Political Org even over 2.5 miles. So I think that Charbel was mildly flattered by running on close to Political Org. I think he also idles in front Political Org even if he does stay that 2.5 mile. Charbel was in receipt of £6 that day. So, you know, if you're a pounds per length fan, then you can work your way through that one. Last time out, he was really impressive, I have to say, Charbel. But when you look at what he's beaten on the day, he's beaten T for Two, who will generally improve when he runs around Kempton over 3 miles. Josses Hill, who's an in-and-out performer. Godzone, who you would have to say is past his best and was giving Charbel £6. So I don't think that Charbel's rating of 162 is as impressive as being acquired in as impressive a way as Top Notch's 162 rating has. The difference with Top Notch is that what we've got is a horse that we haven't seen. We saw him once in December, but we haven't seen him run, well, I would say to his absolute best since he ran at Ascot in November 2017, which is what, a year and 2 months ago. After that, he won at Taunton. Then he ran on ground too soft at Ascot in the Betfair Ascot Chase. That didn't flatter him, that run. He's won impressively at Sandown in April. And then last time out, they reverted to hurdles in a grade one, and he's run an absolute cracker, which I'm sure was a surprise to them, over 3 miles. I don't think Top Notch quite stays 3 miles myself. I expect him to win tomorrow. He'll be 6-4, 13-8 joint favourite on the off, I'm sure. I don't think there'll be a lot in it between the two. But I would much prefer Top Notch in these conditions. I think he's one of the best three or four chasers in the country over 2.5 miles on good ground, and in particular in small field races. So I think Charbel's got it all to do tomorrow.
It's not bad for a listed race, is it? All of these, except for Hammersley Lake, have either won or gone close at grade one level. So we'll look forward to this 2:05 at Kempton. Listed race over 2 miles, 4.5 furlongs, and it's live on Racing Radio, as is the 3:45, which is where your other selection runs, Andy.
Yeah, so top notch would be the Knapp, and for the next best, I'll take a chance. There's an 8-runner race, handicap hurdle, the 3:45, the Unibet handicap hurdle, 8 runners over 2 miles, and there's 2 or 3 in here I don't like, which opens the way for an each-way possibility. The horse that I would go with is called Oakley, which is Philip Hobbs's horse, running for the first time in a handicap, given a mark of 127. And the reason that I think that mark might be quite lenient is because in his last 3 runs, I suspect, in fact, all 3 runs over hurdles, I suspect he's been running on ground that might be a little bit softer than ideal, certainly in 2 of them. And that's definitely the case last time out at Ludlow, where he won despite the conditions rather than because of them. So I think that if he had run in any of his novice events on ground in conditions that have suited him more, I think he would have ended up with a mark in excess of 127. The negative with him, of course, would be that he's running against experienced handicappers tomorrow, and that's always a mild concern. I'm hoping he won't be a silly price. I'm hoping he'll be 4 or 5 to 1 and give us some sort of each-way value, because there's 3 or 4 in there I don't like at all who are well exposed off their marks. And Oakley is the obvious improver in there. So Oakley would be my next best.
Oakley in the final race at Kempton, the 3:45. That rounds off what promises to be a fantastic card. We've also got great racing at Warwick tomorrow to look forward to on Racing Radio. And that includes the Classic Chase, of course, and the Leamington Novices Hurdle as well, that Grade 2. So lots of good action. There's sort of no massive standout Grade 1 taking place on Saturday, but lots of quite good graded action to look forward to. And for more on the big races on Saturday from a trading perspective, let's find out some of the market movers now. Damien Ainsworth speaking to Bobby Beavers.
Damien, how are you?
Good afternoon. Thank you. I'm fine. Looking forward to tomorrow's racing.
Yeah, some fantastic race. I think the best thing to do, Damien, if we start first with Kempton,
okay,
and then we'll go into it to Warwick and finish on the Classic Chase, with that being a key trial towards the Grand National in April. Just so I know, have you had any anti-post bets at the moment for the Grand National with the horses what are in there?
For the runners in the Classic Chase tomorrow, is looking forward to the Grand National. Probably the most interesting one is the top weight on Tom's Per 2.
Okay.
He's a big price. I think he's still available at 50-66 for the Grand National. But if he runs tomorrow, it will definitely be of interest. He's one of those that will definitely get in the race. He's been targeted at it after a long absence. We've seen bits and pieces for that one. That would probably be the most interesting. Watching him, how he runs tomorrow with a view to the Grand National, because I don't expect him to win tomorrow, given the absence. But it'll be interesting to see how he runs with you.
I think with it as well, in regards to the Grand National, when the weights are revealed in February, the Grand National weights lunch, I think that's when we'll start to get a bit more of an idea. And depending on what weight's being allocated for which horse, I think that's when trainers and connections will start making a firm decision. So as I said, we will start first with the racing at Kempton, the 2:05. It's a listed chase over an extent of 2.5 miles, going off at 2:05, won 12 months ago by Waiting Patiently. He was initially entered for the race.
Yep.
Connections have taken him out. It looks like Top Notch is going to be fairly prominent in the market here.
Yeah, it's good to see that we have a couple of high-profile horses that have stood the ground in the race. When the entries were made earlier in the week, there was a fear. I feared that only one would stand its ground, Charbel. So all the money was for Charbel early, 9-4 into 6-4. And I think a lot of people were backing him on the assumption that Top Notch wouldn't run and Charbel would end up having a relatively weak opposition and going off odds on. It's good to see that Top Notch is in there. There's a couple of good horses in there. Black Corton's in there with Brownie Frost, another high-profile horse there. So it's only 5 runners, but it's a very interesting race.
Would you say that if Top Notch does win, would that be a bad result for the bookmakers?
Anti-post, it would be a decent result because we laid Charbel, but I think the momentum now is moved towards Top Notch. I think Top Notch may go off favourite and would be the one we want to get beat as a bookmaker.
2:40 at Kempton tomorrow afternoon is the Lanzarote. That's a listed handicap hurdle, 2 miles, 5 furlong is the distance here. How's the market shaping up for that?
This has been the big betting race of the week. And we are going to be going six places
fantastic
on the race, which is tremendous for 15-runner race. You'd normally only get three. The two horses we've laid heavily, which would be the two biggest losers overall the week, are in this race. Cloudgate, the favourite, was back down from 8-1 to as short as 3-1. There's been a lot of hype about this horse during the week. Gary Moore's been suggesting that he's very well treated. We've had one or two tipsters putting him up, so that's been very strongly supported. The other one is Lord Napier, number 11. That's off the back of a good run, six not beaten far in the Ladbroke Handicap Hurdle, which is one of the most keenly contested hurdles of the season. That's been back from 11s into 7s and just gone 6-1, so that's been very strong. That's interesting, 2 from 2 at the trip, so that'll be popular tomorrow.
What price have you got Eric LaRouge? I think he's got a good chance. He may be worth an each way here as well, Damien. I was impressed when he won over course and distance last time out.
Yeah, it's about 9-1. And
brilliant.
He won quite a similar race to this at Christmas. He's gone up £4 or £5 for that. But he's the top weight near 134, which is a lot lower than you would normally get in this race as the top weight. So it's not actually much better a race than the one he won at Christmas. Class-wise, so yeah, he's drifted to a fair price there, 9-1. Another I like at a double-figure prices and the new. On some of his form last season, he's very well treated, and last time out he was second to Lisp, who's now rated £15 higher, well clear of the third. The third has gone in since. We're seeing a bit of money for that now. 16s into 14s, 12s, I think he's going to be shortly. And with the aids, blinkers on first time, I think that's very interesting.
If we look ahead to Warwick, we are going to look ahead to the two big races tomorrow at Warwick. One of those is the Grade 2 where Leamington Novices Hurdle. I suppose that the question is here, Birchdale, who won a maiden hurdle over course and distance after being purchased after his point-to-point win. I would imagine you've seen a fair bit of money for Birchdale.
That's right. There's two high-profile talking horses, you could say, in this race. Birchdale, who is probably more so than Tidal Flow. Birchdale's only had the one run. He was very impressive. He's been back from 7-4 into 6-4, very strong. He's drifted out a touch now to 13-8. Tidal Flow, 7-2 earlier in the week, now only 9-4. So those two are short enough, I would say, because the other five runners have all got very strong form. And I think it looks to me as if some of the others have drifted to attractive prices.
Especially Stony Mountain.
On ratings, he's got a very decent chance. And I think the hype has got to the punters to an extent, and there's some value to be had in that race.
Yeah, there certainly is indeed. What price have you got Birchdale at the time of recording?
Birchdale, I think, is 13-8 at the moment.
13-8. And then the big race of the day at Warwick, a key trial, as we've already said earlier on, is a key trial towards the Grand National. Of course, a couple of years ago was won by One for Arthur, who actually went on to win the Grand National that year as well. A total of 13 are going to post. And I believe, have we got 7-1 co-favourites of three here?
Yes, tremendous betting in this race. 7-1, Step Back, Ibis de Reu and Calette Mad at the moment. And there's a whole host of horses hovering around those prices. I think Duel at Dawn is also 15-2, so he's shading favouritism almost.
Yeah, it's very, very tight in the betting at the moment. Any of those are being, I can see Ibis de Reu being supported here. Paul Nichols, wasn't it?
That's the best bet won during the week, Ibis de Reu. Paul Nichols has won the race three times in the last few years from only seven runners, so he's got a tremendous record in the race. I'd be against Ibis de Reu. He's had a lot of runs over fences, only got the one win in a novice chase, and was beaten off much lower marks last season in handicaps. So that would put me off that one. Last year's winner, Milan's Bar.
I always say Milan's Bar.
Yeah, back in there with Gina Andrews taking over from Bryony Frost. So the public could latch on to that one. But I think the going's gone against that. It's too fast for my liking for Milan's Bar. and he's 12 years old now. So a few of the younger, more up-and-coming horses, I like the look of, for example, Step Back, who won a big race in spring.
It'd be good for the Brad Sox if he was to get the job done tomorrow,
yeah,
wouldn't
it? I don't think they've had a winner for a few months, but they have very few horses. And this could be taken over from Corny Gree as their marquee horse, if you like.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be great for it, because they've not got the biggest yard either of the Brad Stocks.
No, they're very selective in the horses they put out. One I like at the bottom of the weights also is Impulsive Star. He is a bit quirky, was beaten by a good horse last time, OK Corral, but he's got some very good form in staying chases last season in the National Hunt Chase. Finished a very good fourth off 10 stone one. Samueli Cohen taking off another three and a bigger field. He's 2 from 4 in races with 13 or more runners. I think that's the one to be with.
I'm going to go for Each Way Milan's Bar to get the job done, potentially for a second consecutive year. I think Milan's Bar run a good race again in the Classic Chase tomorrow. Damien, as always, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.